Hello and welcome everybody to another edition of the MLB Whip Around. I'm your host, Michael Garafa, alongside Benjamin Dixon. We are ready for another great episode today. Spring training 2019 has officially begun and baseball is underway, and I couldn't be any more excited because this is my favorite time of year. It is baseball time around the country, and spring training's begun. We've got a lot of big headlines. Manny Machado is officially signed, and many more other things that we're going to get into. Ben, how are you doing today?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Baseball starting, obviously electric. So let's get into some of the big things that have been happening in the last few weeks.
Yeah, so we're going to start with Manny Machado here. Obviously, that record contract, 10 year, $300 million, the largest free agent contract in the history of professional sports, which is just, it's astounding. I mean, good for him. Obviously, wanted him to be on the Yankees. But at the end of the day, he's living in San Diego. He gets to play baseball for 10 years. And obviously, we talked about a few weeks ago at the Art Show how the Padres were a little irrelevant in terms of professional sports franchises. They could be getting back on the map here as they land the star with Machado. They still got Eric Hosmer, Fernando Tatis Jr., right? I'm saying his name right?
Yes, you are.
And obviously, a great farm system down there in San Diego. So, is it the best situation for him to win right away? No, clearly not. But he's living in sunny San Diego, California, and 10 years, it's a long time, and they look to have a bright future there. So good for Manny Machado getting that money.
Yeah, definitely a very good deal for him. I'm looking forward to see what he does out there. A very good team, some solid chemistry. Manuel Margot, a guy in that outfield who's going to be a big spark plug for that team in the future. But the main thing here is they're not ready to win now, and that's a big factor in Manny Machado. I'm wondering why he signed here. He wanted to win now, and he's choosing to go to these Padres. Obviously, they paid him the most money. That's a huge contract, but he is secure for quite some time. If he wants to stay there, he can. And, I mean, he's going to be a very big spot in that lineup, and I'm sure the NL West getting a little more interesting. I don't think the Padres are going to be contending just yet. Maybe 2020, 2021, when Tatis is really strong and they get the rest of their farm system up, because they've got some really good guys down there. But I think those Padres are going to be a force to be reckoned with. And this came out of nowhere. I mean, yes, we had been talking about the Padres a little bit earlier on, but, I mean, it was mainly the White Sox and Yankees game. And to see the Padres kind of jump in last minute is a very big development.
Yeah, definitely. And the Padres definitely weren't a team heading into the offseason that you thought would be in the Bryce Harper and Manny Machado sweepstakes. I mean, obviously, they're not getting Harper now. They do have Machado. Came out of nowhere. They had the money. They did the deal. Good for them. Hopefully, it works out for them. And they get back to relevance. But we're going to move on to another thing in the MLB here, another big story, another star third baseman, Nolan Arenado. This just happened 11 minutes ago. Him and the Colorado Rockies finalized an eight-year contract extension worth more than $225 million. There's an opt-out after the third year. There's a full no-trade clause, and he now becomes the highest-paid player based on average
annual,
per year
in
the MLB, which is crazy. I mean, I wanted him as a Yankee. If we weren't going to get Machado, obviously, you want as much talent as you can get. But good for Arenado getting that deal. And he seems to be very happy there in Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this earlier in the offseason. If Arenado doesn't sign an extension, the next year's offseason and free agency is going to be very, very interesting to see where he lands, because he'd be next year's Manny Machado. And they'd snatch him right away before he even gets into free agency with a huge deal. I think I looked it up before. It was $34.25 million, I believe. So that's a lot of money. And Arenado's a great guy. Very underrated, if you think about it. I mean, he's phenomenal, but he's underrated. He hits at least 330 every season with 40 home runs and 100 RBIs. He's a very good player. And he's arguably one of the top defensive third basemen in baseball history. So very big deal for the Rockies. They are looking to as well continue relevancy as having an okay season this year. They want to really pick it up and make their push for the rest of Arenado's tenure, because he can be that guy who brings them a World Series.
Yeah, definitely can. Arenado, obviously, one of the star players in the MLB. Maybe not the face of the MLB compared to the guys like the Machados, the Harpers,
and
the
Trouts.
Aaron Judges, the Mookie Betts, Mike Trout, exactly. But Arenado, obviously, still in his prime. Getting this great deal, good for him. But what did upset me is a report that we just saw from Andy Martino, obviously the very credible SNY reporter for the Mets and the Yanks. He said that if Arenado was traded to the Yanks in the offseason, he would have had no doubt he was signing an extension. I mean, it is what it is. He's happy in Colorado. Arenado, a great player. I'm just happy there's no chance of Boston getting him next year.
So it is official. Arenado is officially 8 years, $260 million with an opt-out after 3 years. So that is a huge contract. And another thing that I wanted to say is this guy's got a lot of passion. He plays the game with passion. I'll never forget his Father's Day walk-off home run to complete the cycle where he walked around the bases, ran around the bases with blood on his shirt, and he was screaming to the fans trying to get him hyped up. That was one of the most hyping moments for that entire season. And, I mean, he is a guy, he is a real hype man, and he brings energy to this Rockies clubhouse.
Yeah, for sure. Anytime someone brings energy like that to baseball, you got to love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you don't see guys like that all nowadays because I remember Ken Griffey Jr. had his little interview or whatever he released saying, let him play. Let him go out there and let him be who they want to be, because people are criticizing ball players now saying, yeah, they're playing with too much emotion. They're over dramatic and they're being too arrogant at how they play. But no, I think it's just they're energized and it's exciting. In the heat of the moment, you're so excited to be performing in front of all these fans who are cheering your name and making you feel proud of what you do every single day. It's amazing to see guys like that still in the game today.
Absolutely. So Arenado, great signing. We'll move on to another extension here. It seems like it's extension season here in the MLB. Aaron Hicks yesterday signing a 7-year, $70 million extension with the New York Yankees to be the center fielder for a number of years to come. Personally, 7 years, maybe a little too much.
I
was thinking he was going to get 4 or 5, but after letting it sit, I love the deal. 7 years, $70 million, that's
very generous.
$10 million per year. It's very team-friendly.
Yeah.
And it's good for Hicks, too. Obviously, one of the more underrated players in baseball. Aaron Boone called him the other day the most underrated player in the game.
I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously a great defensive player, got a great arm. A little streaky at the plate, switch hitter, but he'll look to get going this year. And he brings a spark to that Yanks team. And let's not forget, when the Yankees got Aaron Hicks, they traded him the Twins traded him to the Yankees for a guy by the name of John Ryan Murphy, who
he is pretty irrelevant.
Pretty very irrelevant now.
Yeah.
He was like a second or third string catcher. Obviously, another one of Cashman's great deals, and I'm happy to see Hicks in that outfield with Judge for years to come.
Yeah, I mean, I remember looking back and seeing Aaron Hicks throwing highlights from out in the outfield where he'd throw straight just bullets
BBs
to home plate from the warning track in center field. He's a outstanding presence in that outfield. I feel like 7 years is a little too long. I feel like the Yankees just have a tendency to do that. Well, they'll extend people who are in their prime now but aren't going to be in it for very long. They just extend them for really too long of a time. But I think it'll be a good deal for while Hicks is playing well and is healthy. If he can stay healthy, that's a key thing, because his health has been a little bit of an issue for the Yankees. So if he can be healthy and if he can produce for $10 million a year, that's a really good guy to have in center field.
Yeah, 100%. You needed him locked up in the outfield, too. You got guys like Giancarlo Stanton, who's not going to play in the outfield for more than 25% of the games. You've guys like Clint Frazier, who I might be his biggest fan, but he's a wild card if he stays healthy. Hopefully he makes an impact on the roster. And then you got Estevan Florial, the Yanks' number one prospect.
Never even heard of him before.
He's a beast if you look him up. Speedster.
Yeah, I have to.
He'll be on the roster in a couple of years. He raked in Class A ball last year, I think. But you got to secure the outfield for a little bit these next few years, and hopefully Hicks' production is there, because Brett Gardner's not going to be there next year, and he shouldn't have been there this year either. Prevented the Yanks from signing Bryce Harper. That's another story. The Yanks obviously not going after him now, but we'll move on from Aaron Hicks to Bryce Harper. Mike, give me your thoughts on the situation here.
So Harper apparently has a lot of deals that are kind of being thrown in his face right now. Apparently he got an over $300 million 10-year deal from the Phillies. I don't know if it was 10 years, actually. I'm sure it was.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so big contract there, but we heard that actually was not the highest offer and that he has many more offers that are a lot higher than that. And for a guy who hasn't been signed yet, and we really heard absolutely nothing about him the entire offseason, I think it's really surprising to have all these guys coming out now going way over $300 million. And the Nationals have been declared to be out, which is great. And I read something the other day that said, Mets fans, you want Harper to sign with the Phillies. Because the Phillies, well, over the Nationals, because the Phillies are not as good as the Nationals are when Bryce Harper's on the team. The Phillies are not very good. The Nationals, though, you get Harper on that team and it changes the dynamic. And the Nationals right now are the favorites of the NL East. So if you put Harper on the Phillies, then that changes the entire scope of the NL East and makes it really a Mets, Phillies, and Braves race. So that would be huge. I'm hoping he doesn't go to the Phillies at all. I'm hoping he just stays out of the NL East, go somewhere else, go to the Dodgers. I'd be happy for that. So it's been said that he's going to sign by the end of the week. You said Friday. That would be a big deal. I mean, we're in spring training and the guy's not playing in games. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, right now it is February, what, 26th?
Yes, it is February 26th.
It's pretty much a joke. But for Harper, it's basically just throwing darts at a board. You don't really know what's going on. Obviously, a great player, future Hall of Famer. Looks like the Phillies could be the Dodgers, could be a mystery team. No one really knows what's going on with this guy. But hopefully he signs soon, just get the whole thing over with. And a name that Bryce Harper has been linked to in the past few days, Mike, I don't know if you saw this, Dallas Keuchel.
A little bit.
Same agency. Represented by Scott Boras, I'm pretty sure. So, could be sort of a package deal if Bryce Harper goes to Philly. Maybe you could see Keuchel sign a little later. It's amazing. It's amazing these high-profile guys still haven't signed.
I thought Keuchel signed already. I thought I read something about that. I might have seen a report. I have to check that. I'll get back to you on that.
Yeah, I mean, to my knowledge, he's still on the market. Obviously, leaving his prime, it looks like, but still a once Cy Young pitcher. Still available, and it's really a problem with the MLB that these high-caliber guys are available this late in the offseason. I mean, Friday is March 1st, and there's a very good chance that at least two out of three of Bryce Harper, Dallas Keuchel, and Craig Kimbrell will not be signed.
I mean, yeah, so I saw that the Padres were in on Keuchel, which was very interesting. But Kimbrell as well, another guy I want to talk about. I mean, he's a good closer. I've said it many times. I think a lot of these teams are being foolish by not going out and signing him. He's going to bring a lot of presence to that bullpen. And like I said before, any team that he goes on, he is going to make an impact and he's going to help close out games. But it doesn't make sense to me why nobody's even thought of him. I mean, the only teams that have really thought about him are the Red Sox and really the Padres. So I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. Craig Kimbrell, this amazing closer, is just sitting out on the market and has no job.
It's wild. It really is remarkable. I saw a report this weekend saying he might sit out the whole year, but then I saw another one after saying there's no way that's true. I mean, if he did sit out the whole year, that'd be like...
That's something we haven't seen in years.
That'd be unprecedented right there.
I think there was something a few years ago, like maybe 2012, where there was this good player who just sat out all season because no one wanted to pay him. But it's just that doesn't happen. And like you said, the market in the Major League Baseball is just so weird. You've got these players who are very low rate, not very good. They don't cost anything. They're getting signed, and they may not be very good compared to these other guys. They just don't want to spend the money. So stop being greedy. And lower your price tag, because if you want to play baseball, play baseball. These guys are too money happy. I mean, if it were me, I'd take $1 million. I don't care if I'm hitting 50 home runs a year. I just want to play.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely two sides to look at it. You can look at it from that standpoint, and you can definitely look at it at the standpoint that the collective bargaining agreement in the MLB currently is just awful, and it's preventing these guys from signing these big contracts early in the offseason. Don't know the specific details. Don't really care enough to know. Just sign the contracts. Get on the field. And it really is crazy. Mike, I know one more thing you wanted to touch upon. Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah.
Possibly an extension for him or maybe not.
Yeah, well, the Mets have been talking about it all offseason. It seems like that's been the main story, the underlying story the entire offseason, is that Jacob DeGrom and extension talks are a possibility or they're either not. Jacob DeGrom wants to be with the Mets. He wants to stay in New York. And he loves playing here. He won a Cy Young here like Ari Dickey did. Dickey got traded the year after. Well, really the week after. And Jacob DeGrom, he's here to stay another year at least. But every Mets fan and every person in the Mets front office wants Jacob DeGrom for long term. The problem is the Wilpons just, again, same deal as always. The Wilpons don't want to pay him as much money as he wants. So the question is, Will DeGrom forfeit some money in order to stay in New York like he wants? Or is he going to just say, you know what, you're not willing to give me the money, I'm going to go somewhere else? That's a little similar to Jury Familia. I read that about last week, that Familia actually turned down deals to be with other teams as the closer for more money than he did to be with the Mets. He took less money and a relief job, not a closing job, to be with the Mets because he loved New York so much. So the question is, would DeGrom do the same thing? Obviously, DeGrom would get a lot more money wherever he went. But, I mean, I think it's foolish, again, not to sign him. Great guy, star pitcher. He's going to be the front runner for the Cy Young for years to come.
Yeah, undoubtedly. He's one of the elite pitchers in the game, one of the premier sights to see anytime he takes the mound. And he pitched the other day in spring training,
right?
Yeah,
he did. He gave up one run, but, I mean, it's spring training.
Yeah, spring training in full swing, though. All teams in action today, usually 1 o'clock, 3 o'clock start, depending whether it's in Florida or Arizona. But, Mike, anything else you want to touch upon before?
Well, we can talk about a little bit of stuff that's happening in spring training. Jung Ho Kang playing again. He's back on the Pirates. He's able to play after being arrested in Korea. So nice to see him back. But a guy that I'm happy about, Pete Alonso, hit a moonshot on his first pitch he saw at spring training. It'll rocket over the center field fence. So promising stuff there. So
yeah, I mean, I was happy to see Troy Tulowitzki go yard yesterday.
That was pretty cool too.
It's a spring training home run. You're not going to go nuts over it, but the implications were a little bit bigger. It was against the Toronto Blue Jays team that is paying him $20 million this year and basically told him you can't play anymore. And he was screaming, yelling around the bases, staring into the Blue Jays dugout. I mean, good for that guy.
It's an emotional, very emotional home run. So
undoubtedly.
Yeah, very big deal for him. But that'll do it for this edition of the MLB Whip Around. Thank you for tuning in. We might have a new idea for a new podcast that we could start tomorrow. We'll leave you a little bit in the dark about that. If you see it, then you see it. If you don't, then you don't. But that is it. I'm Michael Graff alongside Ben Dixon. We'd like to thank Mr. Doxy, Mr. Schutte, Dr. Catapano, and everybody who listens every single week to this podcast. And we will see you all next time.